today, most brands are, let's say, you know, a large set of brands and new age brands, especially in the digital space, are targeting millennials and Gen Zs, right? And soon, actually, the Gen Alpha. And I think one thing that's common to all of them is that they trust their peers. You know, they trust other millennials, other Gen Zers a lot more. And that's been really the insight to why influencer marketing really came up. My take on AI in marketing, you know, is that it's I think definitely a boon. You know, I definitely say, a lot of people ask me that, you know, will AI take away marketers' jobs? And I think most definitely not.
Hello everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of The Growth Genius, powered by Infidigit, the SEO specialists. This is where we bring to you growth stories in marketing and business, and we hope you like our content every time. So please join me in welcoming Ms. Anuja Mishra, who is the EVP and CMO at Honasa Consumer. Welcome, Anuja, to The Growth Genius. Thanks a lot for joining us, and great to have you.
Thanks, Mehul. Thanks for having me around.
First things first, how do you define your role at Mamaearth?
I think, you know, my role or the role of any chief marketing officer in any organization is to be, a consumer champion, to be really the custodian and the voice of the consumer, is to be, someone who sets a vision for, you know, again, the organization. And I think to help carve out business problems into marketing tasks and jobs to be done. And I think then just, you know, help a fantastic team achieve their best potential. So it's as easy.
Nice. You have put it very succinctly, I would say. Coming to your professional life, of course, you know, your professional journey has, been across various brands in the FMCG sector and otherwise as well. So tell us something about your journey and about, you know, your perspective of how consumer needs have changed over these years.
Yeah, so I'll try to keep that short. My journey is now, my professional journey is now close to 2 decades. And like you rightly said, spanning only consumer goods, you know, the CPG segment or the FMCG industry. I've worked across some large multinationals and Indian organizations like Nestle, PepsiCo, Godrej, and now, of course, I'm part of Honasa Consumer, which is, you know, a 7-year-old organization. So I've had the opportunity of working across legacy brands or new age organization, again, across sales and marketing, across categories like food and beverages, hygiene, beauty, and personal care. So I think it's been a very exciting, journey. But I think what has stayed constant, I think one is some of my learnings around how, whether the industry changes or, whether times change. One thing that never goes out of fashion is just staying centered on the consumer needs. And I think coming to the second question, that you asked around how have consumer needs changed? I feel, consumer trends change with time. The fundamental aspect of unearthing the needs never really changes. And I think the consumer trends tend to be influenced by the ecosystem, by the environment. Obviously, if I was to kind of reflect within, the food and beverage or within the personal care category over the last couple of decades, there have been a lot of changes, with the presence of the digital economy, and that really proliferating with the omni channels evolving, with e-commerce taking center stage. I think with people's lives in general, becoming extremely hectic, extremely demanding. And of course, the onset of COVID, which was really a black swan event, a lot has changed. I think how people, identify their needs and how people serve their needs, I think that has fundamentally changed. So, as we say, the 4 P's of marketing, I think, have definitely evolved. But I think what's not changed is that, you know, the four P's remain four P's. So in fact, it's now the seven P's, right? So the fundamentals of servicing the consumer and identifying their needs, the way you identify their needs will never change.
Very true, very true. And obviously, when we look at the changing times, even advertising has changed in the digital age. So according to you, what are the benefits and, you know, pitfalls of this change?
I would think that any change, you know, is evolutionary, right? And I think you can never wish away change. There are never really pitfalls. I think there can be opportunities and challenges of change. So, you know, one of the opportunities, of course, is that you can get extremely targeted to your consumer. You know, gone are the days where, let's say, television and print and radio with very mass media of reaching out to consumers were the only available formats. Today, you can be extremely, targeted. You can do a one-on-one, you can do a personalization and personalization at scale. So I think those are the terrific opportunities. I think the challenges, of course, are that, people have far lesser, attention or, attention spans. And there's a lot of clutter. When you look at the number of brands that, sort of are available today, whether the click of a button or when you just kind of open your device is tremendous. So I think the challenge is that, which inspires you to think differently and, to exercise your creativity muscle is that there is a lot of competition and there is a lot of, struggle for consumer attention. So, both opportunities and challenges of every change.
Great. Thanks for that answer. You know, we need to understand that obviously marketing has changed a lot today and wanted to understand your idea of how you build a brand. You know, it can be probably a digitally first brand or it can be a completely, digital brand, which is only existing in the digital space. So what are your thoughts on that?
Again, Mehul, I think, like I said, the fundamentals of brand building will possibly never change. What does change is the ecosystem. What does change is the, is the scale of experimentation and the speed of experimentation. But I think, again, the fundamentals of, understanding what are the unmet needs of a consumer or what are those met needs which can be possibly serviced better or serviced differently. What is your, USP, your point of parity to the category, your point of distinction to the category? I think some of those are still extremely important, right? So it will still be important to understand, the fundamentals of segmentation, targeting and positioning to say, who is your consumer, right? Who would you really target? How would you position yourself differently from competition or from your peers? Where is your consumer likely to interact with the brand? What's the content that the consumers is watching today? I think that's become a lot more nuanced. You can literally understand, what content is your consumer watching on their mobile phone? When is it that they kind of, are browsing, or spending time on their social media? What are the kind of influencers? So I think it's become a lot more nuanced, but the fundamentals of brand building, to understand, how do you evaluate an opportunity and how do you define product market fit still very much remains fundamentals driven and eventually I think building awareness, building consideration, interest, and finally that translating into conversion will we may just call it a funnel today, but that's effectively how a brand is built. A trial is generated, and hopefully, if the product really resonates with the consumer, it translates into repeats.
Great, thanks. Coming to influencer marketing, what are your thoughts on the role of influencers in marketing a brand?
I think one fundamental insight, why influencers work is. Today, most brands are, let's say, a large set of brands and new age brands, especially in the digital space, are targeting millennials and Gen Zs, right? And soon, actually, the Gen Alpha. And I think one thing that's common to all of them is that they trust their peers. You know, they trust other millennials, other Gen Zers a lot more. And that's been really the insight to why influencer marketing really came up. You know, I think at some point, you know, these people really didn't want to just look at, you know, a celebrity who to talk to them from a distance. I think why they really associate with influencers is because there's possibly a sense of realism to it, to them. You know, they can kind of then know them, you know, through social media. There's a lot more, there's a lot more reality, you know, to them. You know that, you know, these are regular people, you know, who are kind of, who are talking things that you can relate to. So the relatability is very high, you know, and you do have a certain degree of trust, you know, with these influencers, you know, because they're kind of, let's say, doing product reviews or, you know, sharing their points of view. And it just feels like you belong to their world. And possibly, I think the fundamentals of why influencer marketing across the world has become a rage is also that, you know, the fundamental insight is that there is a degree of relatability, you know, whether by the kind of content they make or, you know, the kind of things they speak about. There is a more one-on-one equation, you know, you can actually write to them and they will reply to you. You know, so it's not somebody who, you know, exists in a real world, but very much in a real world. And I think that's the core. Of course, I think brands have been able to leverage and engage with influencers, you know, in different degrees. You know, I think some have done a far better job than the others. We're seeing a lot of creativity come in that space. You know, the entire creator ecosystem, you know, the influencer economy has now become the creator ecosystem. And it's just fantastic to see, I think, what human connections can really bring out.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It becomes more relatable. The brand suddenly becomes more closer to you because of influencers. So they, in a way, act like a catalyst in brand building, I would say, right?
Yes.
Wonderful. Great. So coming to the next question, Anuja, where do you see organic search in the journey of brand building, especially in a e-commerce space, so to say?
Extremely important, you know, because while as a marketer or, you know, or as a brand custodian, you're obviously trying to create intent, you know, for your brand or for that category and then try and create interest. But organic search is actually a, you know, a ready-made intent, you know, but the person comes in, you know, looking for a certain category, a certain benefit or a certain product. And actually that's to some extent, you know, that work that's actually eased out for you, you know, because what's also happening is that today, because of multiple sources of exposure and awareness, it's not just you who's individually creating, you know, demand for a certain benefit. There are multiple sort of, like we spoke about the influencers, you know, there are multiple brands that are creating that interest. And I think your starting point becomes very different then. You know, you are then thinking that, look, you know, this person's coming into a certain platform, coming into a marketplace already with a certainly, you know, with a relatively high degree of intent or a high degree of interest. How do I now build brand preference? You know, so your focus then is a lot more about how do I leverage, you know, this person's intent and be possibly the fastest, the first, you know, and possibly, you know, the quickest to you know, get this consumer converted onto my brand. You know, ensure that consumer sees my brand as the best alternative to solving for their needs. So I think it's a very interesting space. The consumer's already covered a certain part of that, you know, journey or, you know, the path to purchase. And I think it's a fantastic space. It, you know, again, it, I think, challenges the very, you know, conventional ways of brand building to say that, you know, how do you kind of make a straight entry at that point? You know, you don't then have to be a brand that builds the entire, you know, is present across the funnel. You can actually get at the middle of the funnel, you know, where the consumer is already carrying a certain level of intent. And, you know, you can actually turn the game there. So, I think it's just very interesting times. And you know, that I think that the other thing that I just want to kind of talk about, Mehul, is that this actually also has kind of changed the fabric of competition. you know, very conventionally, we would have always said that, you know, oh, all TV advertisers, you know, everyone who's kind of talking on the same media as me is my advertiser. So you will look at your share of voice versus your share of market there. Today, you know, share of search, share of mind is, it can be measured by just so many different parameters. There is actually a competitor, not even expecting that competitor, you know, to come into the consumer's mind space. You know, hey, all this while you actually cultivated interest in the consumer's mind for that benefit or that category. The consumer had you in mind and they came searching for you, and boom, you know, somebody's actually bid for your brand's keyword and has kind of, you know, blown the consumer the other way to their side. So you've just got to be so alert that at every point in the funnel, you're ensuring that, you know, you're not losing the consumer.
Yeah, that is being at the right place for the consumer to, you know, select you as the preferred choice, so to say, right? Great, wonderful.
Yeah.
And this we have to ask in all the podcasts. What is your take on AI in marketing?
My take on AI in marketing, you know, is that it's I think definitely a boon. You know, I definitely say, a lot of people ask me that, you know, will AI take away marketers' jobs? And I think most definitely not. I think AI is an ally. What I do really feel still is that, you know, the most definite role of AI is still work in progress. I think there's a lot of, you know, conversations around it. There are a lot of interesting tools, you know, that you can put in place to, you know, to understand the consumer, to target the consumer, you know, to possibly, you know, experiment with different kinds of content that the consumer might like. But I think the role of AI is very versatile in marketing. And I think it finally depends upon your own creativity on how do you get AI to do a lot of things, you know, that can be more efficient, more effective, and use really the power of, you know, human intelligence to do a lot of what you can't achieve. So I through AI, right? So I really feel like it's the cumulative power of AI and EI, you know, artificial intelligence and emotional intelligence, that marketers can put to great use, you know, because eventually how you kind of craft, you know, an insight into a beautiful creative idea, you know, AI can give you a lot of sort of data and insights, but I think finally crafting that, you know, bringing that human element, that human emotion is what, you know, is really what the right brain does. So it can be a great combination of the two.
Great. Thanks for giving us that perspective, Anuja. Wanted to understand, do you use AI in your marketing activities, and can you share a few examples for the audience?
I mean, there is AI that I think, you know, AI and ML that I think all of us are using at some point in time, or, you know, in the value chain. Very often, you know, we may not even realize, but there is obviously AI at play at every stage of the brand proposition going to the consumer. So, you know, we're doing a lot of, you know, a lot of sort of use of AI in creative and content development. A lot of AI leverage in consumer targeting, you know, whether that's in performance marketing or even in, let's say, our awareness campaigns, you know, in terms of ensuring that we're reaching out, you know, we're choosing the right kind of audiences, creating lookalikes. There is, of course, a lot of, you know, relevance and usage of AI to mine insights from, you know, a lot of ecosystem conversations about the categories and the brands. So I think AI is at play, whether we accept it or we don't. It's at play actively or passively, but it's very much there.
True. Great. And, you know, marketplaces like Amazon and Flipkart today play a big role for e-commerce brands. So what is your take on their importance, and do you face any challenges you know, in that space?
So, of course, you know, I think marketplace, you know, is a, while it's a channel that's evolved extremely fast, again, you know, I'd say that there are huge opportunities, right? One, a marketplace today gives a pretty much a ready level playing field to all brands, whether you're a new brand or an old brand. And so, you know, conventionally, you needed to create the, you know, the muscle in offline through your distribution to be able to reach out to those outlets. I think that, you know, that flag has somewhere been cut and there is a level playing field. Of course, I think there are certain challenges again, you know, in marketplaces in terms of the number of assortments, you know, ensuring that your off-platform marketing, you know, is allowing you to retarget to the right kind of audiences on platform. And of course, you know, there are a lot of interesting tools like not just a DSP, which is on off-platform, but SPVs, for example, right, which is available, where again, you can kind of tap on the intent. So I think marketplaces are again creating a very interesting space for consumers. I think the second thing is that each of these marketplace platforms commands a certain amount, commands a certain, you know, brand trust in their own right. So a consumer is actually, let's say, there is almost a tussle between, you know, your own website versus the consumer buying on another marketplace. It's then also, you know, about building a channel of choice. So you're now not just building brand relevance in the mind of the consumer, but you're also actually ensuring that the consumer finds you at the right channels of choice with the right assortments, ensuring that there is a consistency in communication, in offers. I don't think that any one channel exists in isolation, Mehul. All of these channels have a role in the larger ecosystem. And I think the beauty lies in being able to play all channels differently and to the best of their strengths.
Very interesting. And you know, would like to love to hear any growth stories, you know, from your wonderful career. If you can, you know, share some of your growth stories which are you know, on top of your mind, that'd be wonderful.
Lots of them. I think as a marketer, what gives you really you know, what's an adrenaline for you is when you put a certain thought, a seed of a thought or an idea into, you know, into action, and it eventually delivers into brand growth, into business growth, right, into adding new consumers. So I think one of my favorite stories, of course, you know, from the past has been the launch of Sting Energy Drink. You know, I launched Sting Energy Drink in India way back in 2016, and today it's you know, it's in 5 years, you know, it's grown about 10 to 12x, and you know, that just feels fantastic. You know, to be able to sort of create a new brand into category in a fairly competitive and intense segment like beverages, you know, which is an impulse category. You know, of course, closer home at Honasa, you know, we're kind of, you know, in the business of building brands, ensuring that, you know, they've got a great growth trajectory, and we're in the business of creating a house of brands, right? So when, you know, one brand breaks the record of the previous one in, let's say, becoming, you know, the faster 100 crore or ARR brand or a 200 crore ARR brand, I think, you know, that's extremely satisfying, because that just means that there is a learning curve that you've built. There is a playbook that you've built, which is helping you get better every time. You know, so for us, the Dermaco is growing, you know, even faster, let's say, to become a, you know, at a 350 crore ARR, it's been faster in its journey than, you know, Mama Earth. And Aqualogica is kind of breaking Dermaco's record on that pace. So it's great, I think, you know, for a marketer to see that, you know, every subsequent brand that you're putting into motion is breaking growth records.
Amazing. So it's like, you know, one kid of yours is now overdoing the other.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a pretty sight always, but what I think does give you encouragement is that you've definitely, you know, you're learning every time, and I think you're putting your learning into practice, which is bearing better results each
time. Great. So last question, Anuja, if you can share some key takeaways for budding professionals, from your journey and experience?
Yeah, like I always say, I mean, you know, keep it simple. Don't complicate it. I mean, you know, finally, you know, we're not in the business of launching rockets. I think keep it simple, stay close to the consumer. You know, consumers are actually very simple people if you ask them the right questions. I think the second thing is keep the learning agility alive, you know, keep the humility alive. You know, I just feel like every day when I go to work, I feel like I'm going to school, and that just keeps me calm. You know, that doesn't kind of burden me with pressures. I know that I'm, you know, you be a lifelong student. You know that you sometimes make mistakes, be quick to admit it, you know, be open to learning from people. Don't take on, I think particularly leaders, right, sometimes take this pressure off, you know, you're leading a large team, you can't, you know, you can't make mistakes. I think be a vulnerable leader, you know, it just actually, you know, helps people around to be at ease. And I think I'd finally say that be authentic. You know, be authentic to really who you are. There is a, you know, fair amount of time, you know, that I think, you know, we wear our work hats, we wear our home hats. And I think, you know, it's just important that whoever we are, it reflects in the work we do, right? So I think if you're authentic, people connect better with you. So yeah, I just say actually keep it simple.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot, Anuja, for those amazing words of wisdom, I would say. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I'm sure our audience would love, you know, your thoughts, the thoughts that you have shared on marketing, on your growth stories, and even on your learnings as a professional. So thank you once again for coming to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Mehul, and thanks for having me at your show. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to hearing this
great
podcast.
Great, thanks. So this brings us to the end of yet another episode of The Growth Genius. Anuja's words of wisdom were nothing short of inspiring. I hope you like our content. So keep liking, sharing, and subscribing to The Growth Genius. We are available on all social media platforms as well as audio platforms. The link to all of these are mentioned in the descriptor below. So till the next episode of The Growth Genius, keep learning, keep inspiring. Thank you.